92% of people trust word of mouth and recommendations and review sites more than they trust, you know, a brand or a salesperson. If you're not playing in that space, then you're in a really challenging world, I think, to not, you know, not grow and not see that opportunity.
In the B2B world, we have a tougher but almost easier job because the ability for brilliant B2B businesses that are marketing themselves well is huge because there's so many not doing a great job.
It's like an engagement, it's like a marriage. You're investing for the longer term, especially when you're building a customer-centric business. You want to be investing in actually doing things right. Our brand pillars are trust, connect and grow. Everything is around, you know, being very trustworthy. It's all about leveraging things like review sites, making sure we talk to our customers, we appreciate their comments, all the way through to kind of enabling that connection and also that business growth.
Community marketing is the game changer for so many businesses at the moment. That is the future of the world of B2B. You get 10 times more engagement when you post as a person than if you do as a company because people want to engage with people.
You can't do everything. We don't have infinite budgets. The economy is super challenging at the minute. Yes, we could do all of this, but if we do all of this, we won't actually move the needle. You know, we all want to see our results.
So hello, Carol. I feel like this has been a long time in the making because we met last year at Madfest and I've wanted to get you onto the podcast ever since because I'm a huge admirer of the content that Exclaimer creates and of your platform, which we're just about to integrate at Street.
Amazing. Thank you so much for having me. And yeah, it feels like forever. I think I managed to catch COVID about three times over last year and then missed lots of things. So it's amazing to finally be here and super excited. And I'm a massive fan as well. And all the work you've been doing with the Female Founders thing and Madfest, it's just fantastic. So really inspiring and amazing to be here and be a part of it.
Yeah. And well, you are just inspiring. I feel like there's, you know, there's going to be a lot that we're going to cover today. So to get started, I always love my guests, I guess, to, you know, give a bit of the Carol history. So tell us about your role now and I guess a little bit about your career, your focus and what you're up to at Exclaimer.
Of course. So I've been at Exclaimer now for 18 months. I keep saying a year, my team keep reminding me that it's been a bit longer. So I've been there for 18 months and I started really kind of with the ask to come in and look at changing the company from quite a traditional marketing approach. We were very heavily reliant on things like PPC and paid search, which is amazing to have as a background and like a foundation, but they hadn't really invested in the brand and the organic and content and how you really kind of drive that to really bring people into the audience. So that was sort of really the brief that I came into from the CEO and the investors, was to kind of professionalize that team, build those channels, build that capability and build those muscles. And luckily was able to run a rebrand and a website within the timeframe that we've been there. So huge amount of investment. I think we've launched 9 marketing channels in the last year, which has just been crazy, crazy busy. Everyone's worked super hard. So yeah, I've been at Exclaimer there and we've also hired a full team. So we've hired nearly 30 people in the last year. So really built out that team, bringing people together, obviously with lots of challenges. And then before that, I was a company called Canonical, which they run Ubuntu, which is an operating system, a Linux operating system, which is very famous, if you, especially work in developer and technical world, less so if you work outside of that world. But, you know, they're behind so many projects and so many amazing kind of products and, you know, really everything that you could possibly want to deliver. So I worked for them for a year, looking after demand gen teams globally, which was an incredible experience and amazing chance to sort of learn so much more about IT marketing, about developer marketing, also all the tools and technologies that they build, which is behind everything from Instagram to things like SpaceX launch, like so many amazing things to everything you know, that you want to do with an IoT-based device. So that was a fantastic, amazing experience. And then prior to that, which was kind of like the biggest area for me was in terms of starting my career, I had a few sort of jobs previously, but really at Skyscanner, I started working at Skyscanner sort of early-ish on and looked after the B2B marketing. So I was fortunate enough to be in a company where, you know, you can have an idea and you can go to the CEO and make a proposal. And I started off doing the homepage advertising, which I was terrible at. It really wasn't where my dream was. And then I sort of looked through and realized there's an opportunity in B2B marketing for the company. So they hadn't monetized their channels. They weren't necessarily, we were retailing things like APIs and white labels, but didn't have kind of a standardized approach and a way of kind of doing, I guess, account marketing for the airlines and bringing people on board and monetizing them. So I kind of wrote a bit of a proposal that it'd be a great idea if we ran and a partner B2B marketing team, which they luckily invested in. And I built that out over sort of the course of about 6-7 years and sort of employed people and built up to a team of 10 and really did all the, I always say, all the non-fun bits of marketing. So everyone was doing like amazing blogger trips and going off to Indonesia and selling tickets and being really cool. And we were talking about like hackathons and AWS days and bringing partner engagement to the fore. So that was kind of like my first area around, I guess, retention and partner engagement and B2B marketing that then sort of drove through my career in sort of B2B marketing and SaaS. And I guess for me, I'm a mum of three children, well, four children actually, but three of them are very furry. But one very fierce, amazing sort of young girl who's five. My husband's a doctor and we love getting out and cooking and enjoying things. And I think it's amazing because we have completely different worlds. Like my husband the other day was like, I've learned what FMCG means. It's, you know, it's fast moving consumer goods. And I said, it's nothing to do with what I do, darling. So it's really amazing that we've got a really great way of kind of sharing and learning from each other, but not actually really understanding what each other does completely. So I think you don't have too much work banter, but it's very good for the two of us. So
definitely, so, yeah. I think that diversity at home, where you can talk about, you can sort of understand, but also learn from what totally different industries are doing is so important. I mean, that's the same with in the work environment, that the kind of Avengers Assemble, like different people with different skills. I love that. Carol, I do feel incredibly blessed to have you because like I said at the beginning, I really look up to what you're doing. And I didn't realize that I should have done, that you've actually sat and transformed so many companies by the sounds of things, both at Skyscanner and I'm going to say the name of the company incorrectly.
Canonical.
That's it. I do know them because a lot of my clients obviously are in a very similar tech space. So what I've seen you guys doing at Exclaimer is super interesting. That's, I guess, probably where we're going to spend most of our time discussing things today. But before we do that, can you tell, well, let's start with, what is Exclaimer? You're a kind of, would you call yourself a scale-up startup? Tell us what Exclaimer is and does.
Yeah, so Exclaimer's probably, I think, definitely in that scale-up sort of phase. So we're very established. We've got over 60,000 customers. We're generating kind of almost just over 50 million ARR, which is annual recurring revenue over the year. So, you know, with that volume of customers, you know, we're definitely in that next phase of looking, you know, we've grown, we're established, we're trustworthy. The company's been around for sort of nearly 15 years. You know, it came from the idea of, you know, within IT and security and compliance, you do need to have kind of very clear disclaimers at the bottom of your email. And then it evolved into email signature management. So what it is now is an email signature management platform. It's obviously a, you know, cloud product. You can buy it online on our website, obviously. But within that, it's very much kind of evolved. And I'd say, yes, we're definitely sort of at that scale up phase. We're 280 people. We're looking at, you know, how do we start to grow? We're having all those challenges when you're doing things at scale. And, you know, luckily, our platform and our solution is brilliant and operates effectively at scale, but it's definitely that next phase of like, how do you really kind of accelerate the growth?
It's a cool platform, which is why we're about to adopt it. So indeed. Tell me how, I guess, because this is all about marketing, how marketeers are using Exclaimer, that, because, you know, this podcast is all about marketing innovation and doing things differently. And there is an opportunity for marketeers to do things differently with your platform. So how are people using it and what successes are people seeing using Exclaimer as a kind of marketing channel?
Definitely. So I think we've actually run a number of surveys recently, which has been really interesting, looking into kind of trends and ideas behind email signatures. So I think we found that 68% of marketers are using email and email as a promotional tool, but only about 50% had ever thought that you could even add email signatures to your marketing. And it's a really great opportunity, especially for marketers and across the business really to look at growing. We obviously sell mostly to marketers, but, you know, if you're thinking about adding a campaign, so especially as more and more people are going to account-based activities and thinking about, you know, if we only have a limited budget and we need to be really targeted and make sure we don't waste any money and really focus our money, and then we're going after accounts or people necessarily in market, as a lot of sort of people are doing with intent activities, you could then make sure that your email signatures represent anything you do. So it's almost like that tick box, that kind of like secret marketing channel that you never knew about, but you could optimize. And when I think, you know, I send probably more emails than most people, but I send a good, you know, 50 to 100 emails during the day. But imagine if every one of those emails represented a campaign that you're running, or, you know, something relevant to the company, or you wanted to share that you're going to an event in a few months, or you've just launched a new podcast and you want to talk about that particular particular episode. So it's making sure you can just bring anything you specifically need into that signature. But things for sales teams, it's amazing. Obviously, I want the sales team to sell as much as possible. So we always make sure you can book a demo with them. You can book a call. You can get in contact really easily for customer success as well. It's amazing to make sure that not only could you do something like your NPS rating, but you could also give them the opportunity to reach, I don't know, the help desk or the support knowledge base, or get them to contact your customer success person. And you know, even if you think for onboarding for new people, we can maybe tailor it to make sure that new people see different things from internal emails versus out, you know, external. So I think one of the biggest things that we've seen and we've been trying to look into, when you think, what's the ROI, you know, how do you actually kind of justify that versus advertising? And I think, you know, as we go into, one of the things I've been doing a lot of research and looking into is, you know, as we go into a cookieless world, which everyone's, you know, rightfully terrified about, like, you actually, you know, you have that sort of that risk and those elements. So, you know, when you think about email signatures, you already know those people, you're communicating with them anyway. Why not leverage this channel that you're not necessarily using to actually kind of communicate with them? And you've got that complete deliverability. You know, there's no risk, there's no challenges. And we see on average, I think it's between a 3% and 7% click through on all the ads. But that's much higher than your average kind of couple of percent that you'd see on advertising messages. So yeah, we think it's very good for that. So obviously it's really kind of like, I guess, brand promotion, and then, you know, brand elements where you can just make sure you've always trusted, recognized, you know, reliable sort of brand messaging that always lands with people. And then I guess on the other side for a company, you know, if you're really worried, you'd want your brand integrity to be protected. You want to make sure there's nothing dodgy in there for certain regulatory and compliance elements. You need to make sure that that's protected, safe and secure and centrally managed. So it just takes away that stress and hassle. And I know when I was at Skyscanner, I had to update the signatures for over 1,000 people. And I think I had about a 25% hit rate with people actually doing it within a month. So, you know, it is a big challenge for marketers just to make sure that it's done, but it's this central management where you can just orchestrate things, which is so much easier, I think. And I didn't even know it existed before I sort of like came in to hear about Exclaim, and I was like, oh my God, how many times have I done this? And it could have been so much easier.
Yeah, well, one, it centralizes it, but two, like you say, you could, for different departments, certainly at larger businesses, mm-hmm. you're able to give them different email signatures.
Yeah.
And I guess, I mean, I don't want to predict the roadmap, but as AI and marketing intelligence gets better, mm-hmm. you could even, I mean, maybe you can do this already, but I mean, I always like to go further than I think I should, but I'm guessing at some stage you may even be able to use AI to change the signature based on the personas that you're emailing. Or does it integrate in any way at this stage with any email marketing automation software?
So we've actually just kind of, we did a bit of a teaser on our LinkedIn, sort of talking about the ability to kind of run campaigns through that sort of idea. So with Salesforce, for example, if you're wanting to send to a campaign list, which you'd normally pull into something like Pardo or Marketo, you should be able to then be able to do that as well. So we haven't actually launched that capability, but we mentioned it on our LinkedIn, and that it's something that's coming very, very soon and something that we're really kind of testing out. And you know, obviously we've just launched the ability to pull in social feeds. So we've got the ability, yes. if you're promoting on Facebook, which I know a lot of brands are, then you can actually, why not pull those really cool bits of content in and just have a few running through your signatures as well, which is really great. But I think AI just, it's terrifying and exciting at the same time. And you start to imagine, like, you know, imagine if you just tell it what to add in, or, you know, tell it to write my email and add the signature, and everything's so easy. So I have dreams of this amazing, easy, simplified future.
Yeah, I mean, it's coming. I've got some training with Microsoft on their new Copilot.
Yeah,
which
it looks amazing, doesn't it? It's really exciting.
I accidentally met someone on the train, mm-hmm. Who happened to work for Microsoft. I'm getting an early demo.
Oh, that's really cool, because we were at the Envision conference that Microsoft ran for, because obviously we work with Microsoft as a partner, and they demoed Copilot, and that was where I started imagining. I was like, oh, imagine if you could do this, and, you know,
I know.
Tell it to write your emails for you and find this email that you can't find.
Yeah.
It'd be amazing.
It's happening. Literally, yeah, it's live. So yeah, the future is here, and it's here to stay, and it is very exciting. So one more question that I have, because really selfishly, I want to know whether I'm going to be able to use it. You mentioned it integrates Facebook social feed. Mm. Obviously, what I want to do is pull in all the lovely content from the podcast. Mm-hmm. Is it just Facebook, or are you integrating with other platforms like Instagram, LinkedIn? What are the social feed capabilities?
Yeah, we're looking at everything. Obviously, we're sort of, you know, as soon as we're able to build and add value to our customers, then we always try and get things out the door as possible. But we're absolutely looking at other opportunities across the board for sort of everything. We've got an amazing product team. Our CTO, Vicky, has come in, and she's kind of taking over and sort of really helping developing across the product team and just thinking, you know, what's possible, what could we do? And then making sure that we build that in to kind of ensure that we can get releases out. I think previously we tried to do, like a lot of software companies, you want to do everything and get everything perfect. Whereas actually, if we can get things in front of people, we've just launched an amazing advisory board actually for marketers, which is really cool. And we put it out and got nearly 100, I think 100 signups now in sort of under a few weeks. So people actually genuinely saying, yeah, I'd love to get involved. I'd love to, you know, advise you, to tell you what I need, to do some beta testing, come to events. So for us, that's a massive new area in terms of our customer marketing, that we want to start getting in front of people, showing them ideas, getting them to give us feedback and also tell us what they want, which is a sort of a big thing for us. And just getting those releases then built and out the door really quickly is just fantastic. And our, like I said, our CTO, Vicky's just been incredible getting all of that pulled together.
Yeah, I mean, it always seems so easy, doesn't it? I've had this idea, can we make this happen? But then you've actually got to make it happen. Well, hopefully some of the content that we create from today will also feed into that, because we can post and ask my lovely audience what they want.
Definitely.
So B2B marketing, I am a fangirl, as I've now said about three times, of your content. I do not see many businesses in the B2B space creating cool, compelling, fun, interesting content. Now, guys, if you don't already follow Exclaimer, I'll make sure in the show notes there's links so that you can go follow the page. Because I often talk about in B2B marketing how we need to humanize our approach. And I think you guys are doing that brilliantly. But the diversity that you've got in your content is amazing. So things that I've seen, but you can probably tell me a lot more. One, are you picking up on, I guess, like comical things, like, you know, Taylor Swift's been big in the news. So, you know, a funny face of Taylor Swift making like a wow face going, you know, when marketers hear about being able to add marketing to their marketing messages to their email signatures. You do some really lovely takeovers from the team, which often I, when I watch your content, are the most popular, you know, posts that you guys put out. So people explaining what they do, a bit about their home life. They do a takeover and they're going to be, you know, talking on the channel, which again is really starting to bring your people and the power of your people to the forefront. But so many other brilliant content tactics, even one that literally I just saw today, which also is a great marketing channel, guys, which is, you know, was, I think it was like 13 great out of office responses that you can have, which I always have on mine, just to, I don't know if this is one, I haven't read them all yet, but I did see your LinkedIn post come up about it, is I always say, look, I'm on holiday and I make my out of offices really friendly and, you know, probably over friendly. But like, I'm away on holiday at the moment, sipping cocktails, or, you know, I'm away on a work trip. I might be not as quick to pick up your emails, email such and such person. But if you've got a few minutes and you want, go and check out my latest podcast episode with da-da-da-da, which you can learn about da-da-da-da. So I use, you know, I naturally do that anyway, because why wouldn't you? But I just think people, people tend to be lazy,
just forget,
and they just go, I'm on holiday, that's it. But there's so much more that you can do in your messaging using email.
Yeah, and especially with having your signatures kind of done anyway, like making sure that they're up to date, and you've got, you know, a central management tool means that you'll always be having an email signature going out with it. So you'll be having that promotional opportunity, even if, you know, you might remember as a marketer, but as other employees may forget, then it's always making sure that you've actually taken advantage of that opportunity for the whole company.
Yeah. So you talked earlier about changing from the more old school strategies of, you know, PPC and paid, and how you're transitioning. And you can see, I can see that transition. Like, honestly, you have done a fantastic job. What's, how, I guess, talk to me about your strategy first up. How have you developed that strategy, and what's been important when thinking about your demand gen and go-to-market strategies?
Yeah, of course. So we've kind of, we've not stepped away from anything. So one of the things we've always done is kind of, you know, we have that great sort of paid background. We always look at optimizing, increasing, getting more results, how we can make it more efficient and more, I guess, more engaging and more relevant all the time. So what we've done is to build in that organic, so all the like owned and earned channels that we would have. And as you said, with the social, is an amazing place to express it. And, you know, obviously I've had the benefit of hiring an incredible team. So our social media manager, Sally, has just brought it to life. You know, you sort of say, we want to be a human, engaging brand, and all the ideas, you know, they're all coming from her, and she's just a driving force of all of that, which which is, you know, super lucky for all of us. And it's the same across my whole team. I'm incredibly lucky to work with such an incredible team that are so, you know, engaging and innovative and come up with new ideas. But very much when I started, I said, you know, we want to be, you know, an engaging brand. When you think about where it, I guess, email lives, it sits within communication, which is like the backbone of how you build a business, how you grow your business, how you speak to people, you know, and it is that kind of longer term investment. And I remember kind of doing some pitches and ideas for a brand around, you know, things like, you know, it's like an engagement, it's like a marriage, you know, you're investing for the longer term, especially when you're building a customer centric business. You want to be investing in actually doing things right, making sure that journey is seamless, people get an experience, you know, your brand and everything you do lives up to the promises you make. So for us, it was really important in the outset to look at how that kind of represented, how that meant, you know, our brand would look like, what we stood for. Our brand pillars are sort of trust, connect and grow. So everything is around, you know, being very trustworthy. We obviously are secure and compliant, but it's all about, you know, doing what we do, leveraging things like review sites, making sure we're open, we talk to our customers, we appreciate their comments, all the way through to kind of enabling that connection and also that business growth. So we've sort of done that. And within demand gen and how we've approached it, my background's kind of in demand gen, and, you know, I always have a massive admiration for things like product marketing and bringing that to life. So we wanted to focus on that awareness, driving top of funnel. We always have kind of three pillars that we talk to the investors that we're really doing. So it's top of funnel, which is all of our channels from, you know, PR, digital, kind of digital awareness, getting in front of various people, making sure our socials are really good and engaging. We've really started investing in review sites, as I mentioned earlier, not just for kind of the content, but actually kind of generating reviews. And also as we move into that sort of future of cookieless world and SEO and search results, we've noticed, well, we're kind of pretty sure that it's going to be a decrease in kind of branded search, but looking at how do you have that network of everything that links together and how do you start to optimize for that. So we're investing a huge amount into that to kind of put ourselves in the best position in the future. We've also been looking at sort of, as I mentioned, our social medias, driving community as well. We've started working with a number of communities and looking at how we can build our networks, obviously working with people like yourself, you know, the Marketing Meetup, Rev Genius, and, you know, all across the board, just looking at really great communities that we can get involved in, not as a sense to sell to, but actually for us to learn, to share expertise. I think one thing I love about B2B marketing is that increasing growth of people being like, actually, I tried this and it went wrong, or, you know, I've got this great idea, or I've got this opinion on something. And, you know, I read a lot of content from sort of regular people that are posting things. And yes, there's lots and lots of people posting, you know, not as exciting content, but some really amazing ideas being shared. So we really wanted to build all of that up and look at how we did everything well. And also things like the basics of SEO really, really well. Our content, we've been through a huge overhaul in the last 3 months of, you know, working with the guys who, it's a gentleman called Abed Durrani, who works with Hockey Stack, and also Todd Clauser. So we worked with them and got their advice around how do we actually kind of build our narratives? How do we, what do we stand for? How do we spark conversations, which I think is helping, you know, come across really closely in our socials of around, you know, if we stand for, you know, the future of marketing and communication and things doing well. And I think very much that pendulum swing of, you know, when you were really, really reliant on lead gen, and now you're starting to think, actually, we have to grow a brand, we have to give people the trust, we have to create conversations, and then we have to move on. So we've started to kind of think, actually, if our narratives are around that and the challenges marketers have and how we can work together and how this future is more sort of in that, you know, countering the underinvestment in brand that we've seen for so many years and sort of moving forward, we've started to bring all of that into our marketing and our narratives, and then starting, you know, I feel that we're sort of starting hopefully to stand for something, and something that I very much believe in, which is that really kind of good way of investing in demand gen being very effective. So obviously the first pillar, as I mentioned, is awareness. Then we look at kind of conversion. So we're very, very strict with ourselves in terms of actually, you know, are we putting it to the right people? Are we enabling our sales team? Are we driving conversion across every channel? So making sure our website's optimized. We do keep fixing and tweaking all of our advertising strategies, making sure that all of those journeys are as seamless as possible. They're not seamless, but as seamless as possible. And then look at, you know, how do we kind of bring people in with an amazing kind of customer-centric experience and really started investing in those customers and looking at the ways we can work with them. So I think that's kind of my three pillars in the sense of, like, you know, making sure you do awareness, driving that sort of consideration. I guess what I didn't mention is consideration actually is like, actually, how do you serve those messages consistently across all the channels? How do you start to tie things together? You know, obviously the last piece of the jigsaw for us is that email signatures and adding them into all those kind of campaigns, which is really, really good. And then, yeah, as I said, that conversion and sort of final enablement of the sales team. And then hopefully they stay with you for a really long time and an incredible customer engagement. So
yeah, it's you're hitting every, I mean, you're just literally the perfect customer. perfect person for me to have on the podcast, because you're just doing everything that I love and I shout about, and you're doing it brilliantly, from you know, injecting humor to making the content more human, to making sure that you're filling each funnel, to tracking the engagement. And you know, like you say, it's really hard. You know, we use HubSpot, for instance, and try to track as much as we can. And that's quite a good holistic platform in terms of, you know, marketing automation platforms that are available to us. But it's impossible to track absolutely everything. We track as much as we can, because the social integrations and the APIs don't always work perfectly. But we can see the majority of where our leads are coming from and the content that is delivering. And I think there's so much that goes into fantastic marketing. I think in the B2B world, we have a tougher but almost easier job, because the ability for brilliant B2B marketing businesses, or you know, businesses that are B2B that are marketing themselves well, is huge, because there's so many laggards. There are so many businesses not doing a great job. So you've really driven Exclaimer to a place where I think is super exciting. You're doing some great stuff. And hopefully, you know, others are going to start following, especially if they listen to this podcast.
Definitely.
Yeah, no, it's been a fun journey to watch.
It has. It's been an amazing journey. I think it's kind of always trying to, you know, as you're adding all those new channels that we've done so much, we're very much in a transition, I think, in our team of moving from, you know, building and launching and running fast to be actually like, you know, what's resonating, what's working, are we driving ROI with that? Is it, you know, is it functioning really well, or, you know, do we invest more in this channel necessarily than others? So I think we're now at that sort of real change in all of our mindset, from running really fast to being like, actually, you know, are we growing the business? Is it efficient? You know, should we change anything? Should we keep investing? And that's kind of a hard thing when you've grown this sort of baby and launched it into the world. And then if it isn't doing so well, you've got to sort of really, really think about actually what don't we do? Because if you can't do everything, we don't have infinite budgets. The economy is super challenging at the minute. So it's being really strict with ourselves then of like, you know, yes, we could do all of this, but if we do all of this, we won't actually move the needle as quickly as we have to, really, because we have investors and we have growth targets and, you know, we all want to see a result. So that's always that's the challenge that we've got now, that we're trying to look really strictly through, you know, are we doing all the right things? Are we investing in the right places? Can we do anything better? Or, you know, should we stop doing something in particular?
So it's so hard, isn't it? Because some things take time to bed in, and you want, you know, you want to be able to prove to the investors or to the team or to, you know, your line manager, whoever it might be, that yeah, let me do this for six months, 9 months, but sometimes it's hard. I'd love to know what you are seeing working, which tactics, which content strategies are really working, you know, in terms of, and that could be anything, channels, tactics, where are you seeing the best results right now?
Yeah, so for us, we've obviously had some great results in terms of like the traffic to our website, in terms of people reading what we've been putting out, people engaging on social. Our social media results have been absolutely fantastic. We've also launched, we've been working with Sixth Sense in terms of our advertising and starting to look at, you know, if we know that people are in market, making sure that we really actually target the people that are in market already. Yes, we're doing this amazing awareness to hopefully bring more and more people in, but it's making sure that if we are spending money on targeting accounts, then it's the right people in the right size of company and the people that are in market, and starting to build that kind of buyer committee. So we're very early in our journey in that, but we're seeing some great results and opportunities from that. And as I mentioned, like review sites, working with them, I just think it's super important to make sure that you prioritize your customers, put them first, and you know, make sure that trust actually runs through the whole company. So working with review sites, doing our best to kind of push them and sort of expanding out. We started off with G2 early in the year, and we've started expanding into things like TrustRadius and SourceForge and, you know, Capterra, and looking at how we can build that network. And then the other thing that I think has been amazing for the team and also for growth is around community and starting to build up, you know, that network, who we're working with, who we're sharing, you know, what we're joining, and sort of leveraging things like those events, which gives you a chance to do something great and to stand out. And, you know, when you go to an event, not necessarily just doing a blanket booth booking, you sort of like, well, actually, you know, we were kind of looking at, could we do a flash mob? Or could we do something exciting? Do something a bit different? Because you've got, with signatures, we've got so many amazing lines within our kind of brand that we were able to do around, you know, what's your signature move? And then we were thinking, come into dance moves, and then like your email signature being a part of you, and how does that represent you? And like, you know, doing all the kind of like languages of love that you can do for telling personalities. So we had loads of ideas that we kind of would love to do. So it's kind of, it's just going through all of that. So, you know, actually when the team get the chance and the chance to express that really comes to life as well. So I think they're the biggest areas that we've really enjoyed investing in.
I have to ask you, seeing as you do have email marketing platform, how much email marketing do you guys actually do?
Yeah.
Is it, because you've talked about social, and I love seeing what you guys are doing. And for us, that's actually, if I'm being really honest, at Street, we used to run, we've always used LinkedIn and email for our B2B campaigns, but predominantly we used to get better results through email than we did LinkedIn. Mm-hmm. We've seen a huge shift in terms of the, because we work on sort of both lead gen and demand gen mm-hmm. strategies, pushing more demand gen, but lead gen is part of it. We have started to see there's been quite a big shift change in the last, I would say definitely 6 months to a year, but it's been coming for a while, that LinkedIn and our social media strategies are now delivering more leads than email. So how, is that the same for you guys? How important is email? I'm talking not necessarily about the signatures, but mm-hmm. the email outreach campaigns. Yeah. Like how do you weight those two together?
No, see, I think email, like in terms of a marketer's kind of communication and promotion channel, it's still, it's still a really good channel. I don't know how we'll end up being in the coming year when you it's maybe more difficult to get more and more people into your database. So I guess we'll see how that pans out and everything. But for us, email wasn't really a heavily kind of, I guess, flex muscle in Exclaimer when I started. So we didn't send a vast amount of emails. We didn't have a big database of marketers. So for us, we've been kind of very much countering that. We've invested in building up that database, getting to speak to people, and leveraging communities, being in other people's webinars and things, making sure that we start to build up that sort of communicable database, which we didn't have before. So for us, I guess email's still growing, but we were starting from a lower level maybe than other companies who had already established that and got that up and running. So we've seen only sort of growth in our email. We've got the most fantastic sort of email strategy and building out things like nurture streams that are as personalized and as possible, and making sure we capture people, we give them relevant content, we give them the opportunity to speak to people through those streams, making sure we pick them up at the right time. So that's all kind of a new thing for us. So we're seeing great results from it. But if you had been doing it already, then maybe it wouldn't be quite the same story. Our socials obviously have been growing incredibly. We've seen incredible results across them, thousands of percent sort of growth at times. And it's been really, really great. And we've kind of been running this approach really for sort of like 6 to 9 months, sort of since the social media manager started. And we came in with the ideas of actually, let's really vary it up. Let's start to kind of have things like, some fun memes. Let's start to look at how do we do the lovely little carousels and start to bring things in, just bring things to life. And, that I think the employee showcase was great for us. And we've also started engaging with our employees to share a lot more. So, encouraging them and explaining to them, why it's of value, not only to them for their career and their growth, but also value to the company in the sense of how many more people would reach. And I think, I read a recent stat that there was something like 92% of people trust word of mouth and recommendations and review sites more than they trust, a brand or a salesperson. So if people are taking that approach, they're researching, they're looking at content, or they're asking for recommendations, if you're not playing in that space, then you're in a really challenging world, I think, to not, not grow and not see that opportunity. So we've really kind of made it clear to our staff, not in a kind of bossy way, but in the sense of saying, like, please help us, like, we can grow, we can do this, with your help and your support. And them understanding that has been an amazing turnaround recently for us, to get more and more staff who'd never really posted on LinkedIn actually sharing things and getting involved. And, also leveraging that network of community has been fantastic too.
Yeah, that community marketing is the game changer for so many businesses at the moment. I think it's, relationship marketing, community marketing, whatever you want to reference it as, that is the future of the world of B2B. And it's great, it's great to see brands doing this and doing it properly. And I think there are some interesting stats out there too I'm going to mention, which I've probably mentioned before, but I like to keep on saying the same things because then it really drum it home. That's something like you get 10 times more engagement when you post as a person than if you do as a company, because people want to engage with people. So one, you guys showing up, you're having your people do these takeovers, your employees doing these takeovers and showing up on your company page as a person is great, but also what you guys are doing by encouraging the team to share it, of course, like you say, that drives reach, it drives more trust. People want to believe and buy from people. They don't want to buy from a faceless marketing team. So you will 100% get much better engagement if your people post your content as well as you just posting your content as a business. The other thing, which is really interesting, and I can't remember the exact stat on this, in my head it's around 50 to 60%, but marketeers in the B2B space now use social media, mainly LinkedIn and TikTok and Instagram, to do their research when they're, you know, evaluating people that they're going to buy their product or service from. So if you're not showing up on those platforms, you're not going to get found, and you're not going to get picked, and you're not going to make the pitch list or the evaluation list or whatever it might be. So I think businesses have got to show up. You know, you can't just post a blog article and hope people are going to come and find it. People are using Google less. People are using ChatGPT to do their research. People are using the social platforms to do their research. So if you're not showing up on there, inherently, you're not going to get found.
No, exactly. I think, I've read similar stats. I think some that I've read have been even higher. And, you know, they're also saying that, I think I was just building a deck for the American Marketing Association as I'm speaking there. And it's like, there was some research from Sixth Sense that said 70% of that kind of buying journey has happened before they even come into reach with your brand. So people are researching. I know personally, I always ask, I've got an amazing CMO community that I'm a part of. And I always ask them, like, every single time, straight there. And, you know, also to part of the Pavilion network for sort of revenue as well, and just go into there and just say, you know, what do you buy, what have you used, what trends are you seeing, what challenges have you seen, have you implemented this tool? And people come back with all of that idea, and all of that is kind of part of that whole, you know, dark social idea that, you know, you can't necessarily track everything, you can't see everything, you can't attribute anything. So unless you're kind of part of those conversations, you have an opinion, you're standing out, you're really investing in that kind of social content and community play, then you're not there and present for that sort of that whole journey. And then I think similarly, like you're saying, people do buy, they reach out to a vendor and be like, look, I've looked at you and I've maybe looked at your closest competitor, why are you better? And they'll speak to one, maybe two people, and they'll take that decision based on the, you know, the speed of the salesperson to pick up that opportunity, and also the ability of the salesperson to reference what they're interested in, to understand, pick up on those buying signals, be really quick and relevant and speak to them effectively, and then close that sale, and they've got that opportunity. But, you know, I think often, like, you know, with speed, getting to leads quickly enough, or, you know, not actually thinking, well, actually this person, the marketer who's just told me that they're really worried about brand promotion and they're not leveraging things at the minute and they want to see ROI, then you need to have those stats in your head as a salesperson. So it's really important that you do that effectively as well. And that's why we always focus on everything we do ourselves, but also to enable the sales team, because if they don't know that you're going out with that kind of marketing and that messaging, and, you know, people are seeing that and they don't know to leverage that, or you haven't plugged in your Salesforce effectively or your HubSpot and said, you know, this is why they've come in, this is what they've clicked on, this is what they're interested in, then that, you know, that salesperson is at a disadvantage. So it's making sure that we enable all our teams to be able to operate at the same way as well.
That is another huge thing to unpick, is unfortunately the kind of disparity often between sales teams and marketing teams. It's crazy because we've got the technologies that can tie that knowledge together, but the amount of businesses that aren't transferring the marketing knowledge, and or, you know, my brother works in tech sales, not going to call out the company he works for now because I don't think that it's necessarily the case there, but he's worked at lots of, you know, really fast, some of the biggest, you know, tech companies in the world, and it just constantly feels that he doesn't get the support from the marketing team. So it's, I think, you know, again, the businesses that are going to succeed over the next few years are the ones that are really taking a demand and lead gen approach to, you know, pairing together their marketing tactics with sales and involving the salespeople in those, you know, go-to-market strategies, demand gen events, whatever it might be, so that there's, you know, so that there's a clear follow-up and follow-through from creation of marketing lead, and that's not just the download of a white paper, through to it actually becoming a sales opportunity.
No, definitely. And we had our sales kickoff. So we run the same sort of like financial years as Microsoft. So our financial year ended in September. So our sales kickoff was actually in October, where we started 2024, which felt a bit wonky at the time. But we're all kind of used to that sort of cadence. But we had our sales kickoff, and we had a revenue kickoff the day after. And we just all of us sat there with like the customer success, the sales team, the marketing team, and we had an outside speaker in, and it was really important to me that we actually got everyone to sit down and sort of do an exercise that we called turning the chair with the company that ran it, where everyone was kind of asked to sort of like think about, you know, the impact they have on other people, how they perceive things, how they actually probably getting in their own way just because of, you know, inherent biases and the reasons why they're frustrated, you know, like, for example, lots of frustrations that we always hear about between sales and marketing team, but things like, you know, those frustrations with the finance team of things not being processed quickly enough, of people holding people up, and like all these kind of frustrations and like micro issues that you sort of build up. And so was getting everyone to actually turn around and think, you know, people were saying, and the sales team was saying, like, I never realized how challenging and difficult marketing was, and vice versa. Like the teams were saying, oh, you know, actually, if I don't tell you this campaign's low and live, how on earth do you do it? Of course, you're not going to be able to reference it. And, you know, so there's so many things. So we did a big exercise of like turning the chair and talking to each other and learning about each other. And then we went through, you know, let's not think of like crazy ideas. So everyone can think of a great marketing idea and everyone's a marketer. But we said, actually, you know, if we go to the point of like the leads in, or, you know, we've done an exercise, how do we improve every area of that funnel? And like, where's the areas of the red? Where's the gaps? Where's the leaks? You know, what could we do to make it better all the way through for all of us to close more business in the end? So we had a huge activity of looking through all the different stages within the different regions and got the teams to kind of work cross-functionally and try and solve challenges at different segments, which was just amazing. And the relationships that people have had the last quarter and just breaking down, I think, those barriers and those silos of people being like, oh, the sales team or the marketing team.
Yeah.
It's just been fantastic, and seeing them all coming together and working like problem solving instead of just blaming has been great. So
yeah, and that, you know, that kind of sales and marketing hub. Yeah. Yeah. Marketing can do a great job, but if sales doesn't pick it up, doesn't work. Sales can be doing a great job, but it's so much harder if they don't have great, helpful, insightful marketing content like you guys are doing. So it sounds like you've got the perfect marriage.
Definitely.
There.
And I think it's just having understanding and respect for each other, which I think hopefully we've built up across our teams over the last sort of few months, which is, you know, definitely seeing results in terms of like collaboration, communication, you know, people being able to do things, making sure we've got the right meetings in place. So hopefully only on the way up from here.
Yeah. Well, Carol, I am excited to continue to watch your growth and the fantastic content, and consume and watch the fantastic marketing content that you're putting out. So a big thank you. Guys, if you've enjoyed this conversation with Carol, which I have immensely, you're making me think about all the things that I need to go back to the office and do. I'm going to say goodbye for this podcast, but next week we're going to be releasing another podcast, which is more around the female leadership content that I dive into and how I originally met Carol. So if you've enjoyed this, Carol and I are now going to riff about how we create a much more equal balance of women in the workplace. enjoy the rest of your day, week, evening, morning, wherever you are in the world. And I hope to see you back here, or I hope you see me back here soon.